Hi, welcome to my podcast. My name is Sarah Bostic, and today I will be discussing Ethnographic Lessons, Researching Incest and Mexican Families by Gloria Gonzalez Lopez. In this piece, Gonzalez Lopez sets out to chronicle the personally transformative effect of her research conducted on incest in Mexican families. She discusses her experiences in this research, how it impacted her methodological approach, and the epistemological insights she gained. To make sense of these experiences as a researcher and human, she also describes the insights she has gained from concepts such as epistemologies of the wound and witnessing, or ideas from my all-time favorite theorist, Gloria Anzaldúa, such as spiritual activism and methodological Nepantla. The main points in this work are to embrace how research can be a deeply humanizing process, especially when we embrace all dimensions of our humanity, including the cognitive, spiritual, and emotional components, which are equally important in the production of knowledge. Gonzalez Lopez's work is specifically in response to the dominant assumption that to do research, we must be objective and divorced from emotional and spiritual aspects of ourselves. But as she suggests, this isn't necessary. Each component of our humanity can be part of the process. Likewise, this work also challenges the many boundaries imposed by positivist and dualistic thinking of the sciences and the academy that suggest boundaries, or what Gonzalez Lopez refers to and Anzaldúa referred to, as fictitious lines between the researcher and the researched, the personal life and the professional life. We are both sociologists and human beings. The boundary between those two aspects of ourselves is not solid. I wholeheartedly agree with every component of this text, from her emphasis on reflexivity, in which she constantly interrogated her own perceptions of family, sexuality, and victims and survivors, to the humanity of researchers and the transformative power in embracing the interrelated and connected components of knowledge production, including the intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. It was a pleasant surprise, which led me to geeking out alone in my room at 2 a.m. as I read this article, to see the work of Gloria Anzaldúa being implemented in this text. 2 years ago, I had the amazing opportunity to take a life-changing seminar on the works of Anzaldúa with an Anzaldúan scholar who also chaired my thesis committee, Kelly Zaytoun. As I read this article, I was thinking to myself, geez, this reminds me of Anzaldúa, breaking down the fictitious boundaries between cognitive, spiritual, and emotional thought. And then, lo and behold, two-thirds of the way into the article, Gonzalez Lopez starts to refer to Anzaldúa. I was so excited I accidentally ended up with this article. Shifting to things I want to argue in the text. I don't know that I necessarily want to argue anything. It's clear I'm quite a fan. However, a small part of me was skeptical about her assertion that to those she was interviewing, she became a sort of symbolic mother. When she first mentioned this, I was waiting to see where she went with it. Is she going to come across as a maternal figure in the paternalistic sense, which sounds almost ironic, but in the sense that she asserts herself as an authority from the outside, as a person returning to Mexico over those in the global South who don't know better, or any other imperialistic sounding way of describing these types of power dynamics? Or what was she going to do? And I found myself in tears, actually, once she elaborated on what she meant by taking on the role of mother. The role of researcher already carries with it a certain authority, but she saw her connectedness to those she was researching, and a human and almost family connection, in which the opportunity to tell and be heard bared symbolic weight. Gonzalez Lopez writes on page 577, quote, "I eventually realized that from the perspective of my informants, I was the family adult, the respectful figure whose intention was to do what others had not done when they first experienced abuse and pain. I eventually realized I was becoming some kind of ethnographic symbolic mother who unconditionally believed. I was becoming the family adult figure who would respectfully and non-judgmentally finally listen to their stories, end quote. This realization is quite powerful. It's also clear the humility she expresses throughout, so I don't think she takes the mother role in the paternalistic direction with this research. I do wonder if this reflection, transformation, and the feel of this research and reflection overall could have been reproduced if the scholar were male. I don't know that it could in the same way because of the gendered power dynamics of incest and sexual abuse in the family. That's not to say that women aren't just as capable of sexually abusing younger family members, but the father who listened and unconditionally believed doesn't seem to bear the same weight as the mother who listened and unconditionally believed, at least to me. So this leads me to question how epistemologies of the wound, from a researcher's perspective, might be gendered, especially when these epistemologies of the wound are applied to understanding experiences that are sexual in nature. Could an ethnographic father exist in the same setting without reproducing paternalistic and colonizing tendencies of ethnographers throughout the course of history? This question is complex and it involves many variables in order to answer. I aspire to be as self-aware during the research process as Gonzalez-Lopez. I also think it's awesome that she was so self-aware that she published an article on the research process. As I read, I thought, I didn't know that you could literally publish an article entirely about your personal reflections and feelings while conducting research. So, not only did she have the data and the research of her initial study to publish, but also the reflections of that process. It's fitting, given her methodological grounding, that even the medium of published sociological research is altered to include these reflections that Western positivist research norms would normally dictate as non-publishable or outside the realm of research. Additionally, I aspire to embracing the sometimes uncomfortable state of methodological napantla, to embrace all parts of myself in the research process and to be open to the transformation that I might experience. Gonzalez-Lopez discusses how her role as the interviewer was even blurred as her informants also interrogated her. To me, this points to the social process of meaning-making, a give and take, a process researchers and the researched can equally collaborate in. I aspire to be a sociologist that finds ways to implement the thinking of Gloria Anzaldúa. For years, I have had the desire to do this, but have not been exposed to many examples on how this is done. I hope that I may have the opportunity to implement Anzaldúa's work in my own. Gonzalez-Lopez's work to me embodies Anzaldúa's seven stages of conocimiento, in which Napantla and spiritual activism are but two stages. Anzaldúa expands on each of these stages in her book, Light in the Dark, Rewriting Identity, Spirituality, Reality, edited by Ana Luis Keating. Gonzalez-Lopez's work represents a shift, a movement, demonstrating what Anzaldúa means by inner work, public acts. She's doing work that matters, that symbolically impacts the interconnected lives of researchers and the researched. I'd like to close out this episode with a quote from Kelly Zaytoon in her chapter entitled Shifting, from Bridging, How Gloria Anzaldúa's Life and Work Transformed Our Own, edited by Ana Luis Keating and Gloria Gonzalez-Lopez. Zaytoon writes on page 207, quote, "We are reminded that change does not happen in stillness. We are reminded to act. By practicing conocimiento, we can give birth to our potentials as individuals and as the collective force we have yet to know. Future social change depends on this deeper awareness of the cycling of the self and its relationships to others in the world. It depends on our willingness to steep in the depths of the Coatlicue state and understand that this inner work, engaging in the personal experience of our emotional, spiritual, and physical states, is integral to the process of social change." End quote. I'm Sarah Bostic, and this concludes my discussion of Ethnographic Lessons, Researching Incest in Mexican Families by Gloria Gonzalez-Lopez. Thank you for listening.